David was the second king of Israel, and he was a very popular king. There were a number of reasons that he was popular, but one of the most important reasons was that he helped the Israelites defeat their enemy, the Philistines. And there was a huge celebration. It was a victory party. And David planned to take back the Ark of the Covenant and bring it to Jerusalem from the hands of the enemy, the Philistines. 2 Samuel 6:3 describes the actual event of retrieving that Ark of the Covenant. It says, they set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab. Now, you probably know the very dramatic story of what happened with Uzzah. We read in the very next verse that Uzzah was helping to guide the cart when the oxen stumbled. The cart began to lean to the side and the Ark of the Covenant began to teeter. And Uzzah rushed over and he reached out and he took hold of it. 2 Samuel 6, verse 7. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down and he died there beside the Ark of God. Whoa, Nelly. That's pretty dramatic, isn't it? That sounds rather harsh. We might have expected God to thank Uzzah for rescuing this holy ark, this sacred vessel. But instead, he executed him right there on the spot in front of everybody. And this is one of those challenging verses. It's a difficult verse to defend in the scripture because some people use it to say, see, I told you that God is not a loving God. See what he did to Uzzah? The story seems to support that common question that so many people ask. How could a loving God allow this to happen to me or to my loved one? How do you answer them? Or maybe you are struggling with that question yourself. I hope that we can shed some light on that today through this subject, because that question just rears its ugly head over and over in our lives in one way or another. It challenges the faith of the person who is uttering it. It also hinders our evangelism and our witness for Jesus Christ, allowing God to accept God for who he is. So let's return to the story of Uzzah. We are told that the Lord's anger burned against him because of his irreverent act. What was so irreverent about trying to protect the Ark of the Covenant? Well, Moses had made it very clear that the Ark of the Covenant was so holy that it was not to be touched by human hands. Instead, it was to be carried by priests. They used poles, and the poles went through rings that were on the side of the ark, and they carried those poles. There's a very elaborate description in the book of Numbers about how all of the holy things, not just the ark, but all of the holy things that were in the tabernacle were to be carefully prepared before moving them, when the Hebrews would change locations and break camp and go to another place. And in that description, only the high priest and his sons were allowed to prepare the elements to be moved. It was another group that was to carry these elements. Another group that was given the privilege to actually move them from place to place. They were a clan of the tribe of Levi, the Kohath clan. Uzzah was a Kohathite. Listen to what God said about them in Numbers 4, verse 15. After Aaron and his sons had finished covering the holy furnishings and all of the holy articles, and when the camp is ready to move, the Kohathites are to come to do the carrying. But they must not touch the holy things, or they will die. Thus spoke the Lord. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Uzzah disobeyed a clear, direct command of God, even though the ark was in danger of falling to the ground. I love what R.C. Sproul wrote about this in his classic book called The Holiness of God. This is what he said. Uzzah assumed that his hand was less polluted than the earth. But it wasn't the ground that would desecrate the ark. It was the touch of man. End quote. Elizabeth and I have had the privilege of traveling in many places in the world, as have many of you. And if you have been a world traveler, you have undoubtedly been to places where wars had been fought. And in many of those places, you would see signs where landmines were left behind. And those signs would warn you not to step on that area, lest you might accidentally step on a landmine. God's directive to Adam and Eve about the tree of knowledge in the Garden of Eden was like a landmine, and they stepped on it anyway. God's directive to the Kohathites about the holy things in the tabernacle was like a landmine, and Uzzah stepped on it anyway. God was saying that those precious holy things represented his holy presence. He said, don't touch them. Don't touch them. Here's something else important to note. The Ark of the Covenant should never have been placed on a cart in the first place. It was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of those Levites using those special poles. They would be walking beside the Ark, on each side of it, carrying it. However, Uzzah and his helpers walked out in front of that cart, guiding it. It was almost like Uzzah had an arrogance about himself walking in front of the cart. Perhaps he saw himself as someone who needed to take care of God. Have you ever known anyone like that? I'm going to refrain from giving my own testimony on that subject. I have known people that thought they had to take care of God. It felt like he had God safely in a box, and he was going to keep him away from all the dirt of the world. He was going to protect God. He was very sincere about that, but he was sincerely wrong to the point of irreverence, according to God's word. It is not your place, and it is not my place, to presume upon God or the directives of God. He is holy. Holy, holy. It is not acceptable to ignore or rewrite his commandments. He is holy, holy, holy. And we need to remember that God is holy and we are not. Yes, we have access to him through his son Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But no, we do not have the right to approach him as if he were our buddy. We are to approach him with reverence, with respect, with awe, because he is a holy God. We should not approach him as Uzzah did. Uzzah is our first ROTC for today, our first revealing Old Testament character. As the story continues to unfold in 2 Samuel chapter 6,
we read that King David was distressed when he saw what God did to Uzzah and struck him dead. David was scared, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" I'm reading now from verse 10. David was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. This is our second ROTC for today, Obed-Edom. Lots of us would probably have to Google him to be reminded of who he was. He was very important in this story. We are told that he was a Gittite. What does that indicate? It indicates that he lived in the city of Gath, which was one of the five main cities of the Philistines, the enemy. Who else came from Gath? Goliath, the giant, whom David killed. Obed-Edom was from the enemy camp. What was David thinking? And maybe he decided that if God's going to kill people by the way they treat the ark, let him kill the enemy. Let him kill Obed-Edom, not me. Not me, Lord. But guess what happened? When the presence of God, as symbolized in that holy ark, entered the home of Obed-Edom, it says it stayed there for 3 months, and he was blessed. And his whole household was blessed, his entire family. Where was David during those 3 months? He was hiding in Jerusalem. He was retreating into the comfort of his cave. Verse 12. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." That is when David decided, let's try this again. Continuing in verse 12. So David went down and he brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And this is the story of where David stripped down and danced before the ark, and there was joy filling the streets of Jerusalem. I can hear it. If you've been to the Holy Land, if you've been among those Jews in the Holy Land, you know that where two or three are gathered together, there is a party. That's just the way they are, dancing in the streets. But our focus today is not on David. It's on that Philistine outsider, Obed-Edom, the enemy. He was blessed by God and his whole household, even though he was an outsider. Brothers and sisters, that has happened to you and to me. As Gentiles, we were outsiders. We were considered enemies of God. And we were given the overwhelming privilege of hosting the Lord God Almighty, the Holy, Holy God. We could take him into our homes, into our hearts, into our lives, because we have been accepted as an insider. You are now an insider because of what God has done for you. We have his presence in our lives, his holy, holy, holy presence. Paul wrote this in Ephesians 1. He said, I'm paraphrasing. God chose us to be blameless in his sight. Me? Blameless? You? Blameless? He lavished his love and his forgiveness on us. It's like a shower coming down from above. His love washing you. His forgiveness washing you clean. With all wisdom and understanding, Paul said, he made known to us the mystery of God's will, you and I are unlikely recipients of God's grace, as unlikely as Obed-Edom. Through that man, God gave mankind a glimpse into his generosity, into his plan to include the Gentiles in the family of God. All that is great news, is it not? Now here comes some more great news. Another parallel in the New Testament. Paul was speaking in the book of Romans about the Jews who had rejected Jesus Christ. In Romans 11:11, Paul said this, "Again I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles." And here is why. "To make Israel envious." I love that. David envied an outsider, Obed-Edom. And that was a peek into the future. It was prophetic. Because at the culmination of all history, Israel, modern Israel, will envy the blessings on Christians. And they will turn to Jesus Christ. And there will be dancing in the streets of Jerusalem and joy that would make David's dance look tame. I want to see that, Lord. I hope that you make that happen before you call me home. Wow, can you imagine what CNN would have to say? But today's story is not over. Here is another twist. When David took the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, Obed-Edom did not wave goodbye to the Ark. Obed-Edom was invited to come with the Ark and accompany it and come to Jerusalem. In 1 Chronicles 16, we read the same story, but in that version of the story, something is added. I'm reading 1 Chronicles 16, beginning in verse 1. "David appointed some of the men to minister before the Ark of the Lord, to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph was the chief. Obed-Edom and others were to play the lyres and the harps." An outsider not only became an insider, he also became one of the worship leaders among all of the insiders. He led music before the people. He was treated like one of the priests. He was welcomed to worship the Lord alongside Zadok the priest and Asaph the psalmist and David the king himself. And the family of Obed-Edom, we are told, was treated the same way. They all became insiders. Brothers and sisters, that is exactly what has happened to you. Like Obed-Edom, you have been invited to join the party. You have been invited to minister before the Lord and sing to him and pray to him and rejoice in him. Amen. Now, let's compare these two ROTCs for today. Uzzah, proud, arrogant, irreverent, and cursed. Obed-Edom, humble, available, a worshiper, and blessed. Have you ever tried to step out in front of God, in front of the cart, and presume to try to lead God to to do what you want him to do? Have you ever forgotten or refused to remember something that he clearly told you not to do and you did it anyway? I think we all have. We can be just like Uzzah. Have you ever opened your life to the presence of the Holy God? Have you ever been blessed by him? Have you ever worshipped him in humility? I think we all have. We can be just like Obed-Edom. Which one would you rather be? Let's pray. Father, I want to acknowledge you in praise and thanksgiving for your holiness, your perfection, your beauty. I want to thank you, God, that you have given us in our spiritual eyes a glimpse of what you are like, a longing to see you face to face, a promise that we will. I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you will help us here in this church, in our homes, in our cars, in our offices, in our classrooms, in the grocery store, in the bank, anywhere in Turf Valley, at every restaurant, at the hardware store. Wherever we are, Lord, may we reflect your holiness. May we reflect our Savior, Jesus the Christ. May we, Lord, walk so closely with you that everyone will see Jesus in us. Give us the strength, Lord, to receive the blessing of that prayer. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.